Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to go back to some verses that we looked at in some of our earlier sessions by way of review. We're talking about spirit, soul, and body. And if you've never heard this phrase, I encourage you to write it down tonight and commit it to memory and never forget it. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Say it. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now that describes you. That's how you are. I am created like God. You are created like God. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The problem is this. Before Christ, B.C., could I just put it to you that way? Before Christ, B.C., your spirit, I'm talking your human spirit now, your human spirit is dead unto God. Now, that doesn't mean your human spirit is dead entirely. There are people that can be involved in spiritism, occultism. They'll get in touch with the spirit world, and it's coming through their spirit, but their mind is darkened and alienated from the life of God because their spirit is not hooked up yet to the Holy Spirit. But a wonderful thing happens. Everybody say, a wonderful thing. They got to kind of stretch it out. Wonderful thing. Say that. Wonderful. A wonderful thing happens. The moment you have faith in Christ, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit of God comes, joins with your human spirit. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the Bible says, learn to put on the new man. Learn to put on and live in the spirit man realm. The Holy Spirit. All right, let's look at this passage. Ephesians 4. And let's, quickly, I'm going to kind of skim some verses, so follow me now. Verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not." Would you circle that phrase, walk not? There's some things that he doesn't want you to do. See, a lot of people, they say, I want to be spirit-filled and be able to watch R-rated movies and be able to listen to rock and roll music, and I still want God to answer all my prayers. Well, you've got some things to learn. Hello. There are some things you cannot do. Well, that didn't get an amen, but it deserved one. There are some things you can't do and there are things you should do. All right, he says, walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, I want you to circle the term mind because that's referring to the soul. I am a spirit, but I have a soul. Now, what is the soul? Look back in your notes. The soul is the what? The mind, the will, and the emotions. All right, he says, don't walk in the vanity of their mind. Having the understanding, circle the term understanding, again, that's referring to the soul. Having their understanding alienated, darkened from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now notice verse 17 and 18 is talking about the mind. Whatever you think on will lead to your actions. Did you hear me? Whatever you meditate on, ponder, and fill your thought life with, it will lead to what you do by action. Look at the next verse. It leads right up to it. Verse 19 says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto sensuality." The King James says lasciviousness, but the more modern term would be sensuality. "To work all uncleanness," that would be immorality, "with greediness." So he says, and he's writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians. He says, now, you're born again. But don't live in a carnal state. Make sure that you don't continue walking as the Gentiles. You used to walk that way. But make sure that your mind is not darkened, it's enlightened. Make sure that your mind is not alienated from the life of God, but hooked up to the life of God. Because wherever your mind goes, your feet will surely follow. Did you hear that? Wherever your mind goes, your feet will surely follow. And he says they've given themselves over, to the wrong type of lifestyle. Verse 20, "But praise God, this is for you." Everybody say, "This is for me." Verse 20 is your verse. He says, "But you have not so learned Christ." And so that tells me that Paul had to teach them. This is not something you can just pour oil on somebody's head and rub it up dub in the tub. You got it. You're going to have to learn how to walk in Jesus. Now, let's look at the marker board before we go any further in this passage. And let me just explain some things. We're not going to take the time to go to the handout. Again, I encourage you to hold off on that and read it at home. But we've drawn the diagram, and I realize in the back it perhaps it's hard to see, but we've depicted the three parts of who you are. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So there's three dimensions, if you will, of your life. Now, before Christ, everybody say before Christ. All right, we're going to put HS. Before Christ, the Holy Spirit, He's not in the life. He's with you, attempting to draw you to Christ, but the Holy Spirit is not indwelling your life. At the point of salvation, at the point of salvation, now I encourage you to draw this in your notes, the Holy Spirit comes in and joins with your human spirit, and that's called the new man. In other words, the deadness is now gone, and God imparts life into your spirit. And so that is the new man. Everybody say the new man. Now, let me just point this out. It's impossible for your spirit to be both dead and alive. Hello? And we went over this in some of the previous sessions. I'll just kind of hit it and run. And I had this teaching. You know, these are good people, and I'm not after picking fights with somebody. If somebody presents a little bit different way, don't go Bible bashing people with the knowledge you have. Amen? But on the other hand, if they're open to being taught, then go ahead and share, you know, the way that you see it from the Word of God. But I was always taught this, and it preaches real good on radio. Man, you've heard these guys hyperventilating on radio. I want you to know you got a mean dog and a good dog inside of you. You better feed the good dog. Starve the mean dog, because the good dog needs to win out. You know, it's kind of like, they're talking. Yes, I can preach like that if I want to. Dries your throat out. But here's the thing. You know, I was taught that inside me now as a Christian, I've got the old nature and the new nature. And I don't know if you remember that old show, The Hulk, you know, where it kind of showed the split personality. On the one side was the nice guy, on the other side, you know, was the Hulk guy. Listen, God has not made you schizophrenic.
Amen.
Now, here's the way we've been teaching it. Here's the way we've been teaching it. Your spirit before Christ is dead unto God. That's the old man. But at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit joins with your spirit. The old man was crucified, according to Romans 6, verse 6. According to Romans 6, verse 6, the old man was crucified. And guess what? The new man is now resident within you. Everybody say, I have a new nature. The nature of God in me. I'm a believer. The nature of God dwells in me. Now, the first thing people think is, well, if that's true, why do I still struggle with sin? Let me amplify, as we've done, on the soulish realm. The soul is made up of the what? Help me again. The soul is made up of what? The mind. So I'm going to draw this. The mind. I'm going to put the emotions over here. I have to have the gift of interpretation to read my handwriting. And the will. Now your will, follow me. Your will is like a switch. It's going to either be in the up position yielded to the Spirit, or, if I can just depict it this way, it's going to be in the down position yielded to the flesh. This is what the Bible calls the condition known as flesh. That's why Christians can still sin. You are free. From God's point of view, you're free. You were not free prior to salvation. Either way your switch went, you were yielding either to a dead human spirit. That's no freedom. Or you were yielding to the input of the world and the desires of the flesh. Now that Christ has changed your nature, you are free to choose if you will. That's why the Bible can make such bold statements and says you're dead to sin. I mean, that just knocked you in the head. What do you mean I'm dead to sin? I know I still sin. From God's point of view, you're dead to sin in the Spirit. You can yield to the Spirit. So what? The Holy Spirit can begin to flow into your mind, restoring, renewing your mind. The Holy Ghost wrecking crew will come in there and knock down strongholds, old behavior patterns. See, even though the old man is dead, the behavior of the old man can still very much be resident within the mind, the will, and the emotions. People can actually have addictions. The Bible talks about indwelling sin. Your very body can be addicted even as a Christian. But here's the wonderful news. If you will begin to learn to yield to the Spirit, the Bible calls this walking in the Spirit, what happens is the power of the Holy Spirit, and then as you input the Word of God, that's supposed to be a little Bible there, the Word of God coming in through your eyes, through your ears, you're listening to the tapes, you're studying the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit grabs that and He begins to cut asunder between soul and spirit, even the joints and the marrow, and He begins to set you free so that you're walking in the victory that God wants you to have. All right, now, let's go back to this text, and I think it'll make more sense to you. Look at verse 22. Well, verse 21. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That you put off... Now, look closely at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former... The King James says conversation. A better word there would be behavior or lifestyle or conduct. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now, look at that verse again. Does it say put off the old man? Don't answer out loud. You might embarrass yourself. Does it say put off the old man? No, the old man's been crucified. God has crucified, dead, and buried the old man. You only have the new man in you. It does say put off the lifestyle or conduct of the old man. I'm telling you, there are Christians by the millions that love God and they're still messed up. And I'll tell you why they're messed up. They're messed up because the old effects of the lower nature is still resident many times within their emotions, within their mental faculties. It can even get over into a physical type of addiction. But if they can learn to yield to the nature of God that is within them, and the power of God's Word coming in, hooking up with that, it can literally begin to knock down strongholds and build up new fortresses for the power of God to begin to traffic in your life. But we've got to do something. How do we put it off? Everybody say how.
How?
That was five of you. Everybody say how.
How?
Well, I'm so glad you asked the question. The way you do that is you learn to yield. Everybody say yield.
Yield.
That's the magic word, yield. Did I spell that right? I-E, is that right? I've always had a problem with that, Chuck. Thank you very much. The word is yield. The Bible says yield yourselves unto God. Present your bodily members unto God as instruments of righteousness. Your body is not evil, folks, but it must become a tool in the hands of God through the process of yielding. Now, here's the wonderful thing. If you have the Holy Spirit, guess what? You don't have to say, oh, God, please give me more love. You've got the fruit of the Spirit in you. You've got love. The Bible says in Romans, it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Start yielding to it. You don't have to say, oh, Lord, give me more patience. You've got patience. You've got all the fruit of the Spirit resident within the new man. Begin yielding. And this upsets some people that don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But guess what? You've got all the gifts of the Holy. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you have everything the Holy Spirit is and has in you. It's just a matter of yielding. Oh, but I don't believe in them. Sorry, they're there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Learn to yield. All right, go back to verse 22. That you put off concerning the former behavior or lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed. Here it is, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Everybody say, put on the new man. Everybody say, put on the new man. And I love this, which after God has been created in righteousness and true holiness. Now quickly, go with me to Romans 8. Go with me to Romans 8. This is really a line upon line type of teaching. Romans chapter 8. We've been talking about spirit, soul, and body, old man, new man. The difference between that and flesh. We've been looking at the Greek terms. So many people, they just like to use flesh interchangeable with old nature. You can't do that. I mean, the Greek is sarx for flesh. And for the new man and old man, it's anthropos, where we get the term anthropology or man. It's always that designation. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at some of the practical how-tos of this. Go to verse 4. Romans 8 verse 4. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And I want you to mark these two ways in which Christians can walk. Who walk not after the sarx, the flesh, but after the pneuma, the Spirit. Everybody say, not the sarx,
but the
pneuma. Now, that's on your handout, and you can catch up if you haven't been in the previous sessions. But we're looking at the Greek terms here because, again, we've got so many different versions of the Bible in here. You might have some paraphrase that for just some reason pulls some weird, you know, statement out of there. But verse 4 says, don't walk in the flesh or sarx, but after the Spirit. What is the flesh? All right, let's go back to the diagram. Flesh is when you yield to the unrenewed mind, yield to the unrenewed emotions, yield to the input of the world through your physical body, instead of yielding to the renewed mind, the mind of Christ coming in by the Holy Spirit, yielding to the renewed emotions. God can renew your emotions. Now listen, I was so beat up as a teenager, I didn't even realize how beat up I was. But you can't live with an alcoholic that abuses you and verbally says things that adults shouldn't even have to hear and come out normal. It's impossible. And so I had wounds and traumas. Even after I was a Christian, my soul, thank God He still restores souls.
Amen.
He restoreth my soul is what the psalmist said. But you know, instead of begging and squalling, oh God, please help me to be better. Oh God, please help me to be better. You know, I had to realize I've got the nature of God. I don't have to beg and ask God to make me better. He has done it through Christ. I must simply learn to yield to it. And so when that feeling comes, you're a nobody. When that feeling comes, you're not important. You can't do that. Who do you think you are to try to start a business? Or who do you think you are to try to have a ministry? You can't do that. And every one of us in this room struggle with those kinds of feelings. These are feelings that come from ultimately Satan. But they come in through the flesh and through abuse and through what others say. We must learn that the significant one in our life is what God says. And yield to that. So when that thought comes, you're a nobody. I say, wait a minute, I am a somebody through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ. Now look at verse 5. For they that are after the sarks, and if you would, please write that in the margin of your Bible, the two terms, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, the sarks, what do they do? How do you get in the flesh? Well, it's easy. They mind or think about the things of the sarks. Now, you young people particularly, I want you to listen to me because we live in a world. There's, you know, 100 million channels out there and their promises more. Oh, great. We need more. Amen. And we've got so much perversion in the world, particularly in our culture. You cannot mind or think about the things of sarks and expect to get pneuma results. Impossible. God will not be mocked. He that sows to the sarks, the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the pneuma shall of the pneuma of the Spirit receive life everlasting. Amen. Let's all say this. I will sow things of the Spirit into my being, into my mind, into my emotions, into my will. I choose the Spirit. Amen. It's real simple. There's nothing hard to it. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the pneuma, they are thinking about the things of pneuma. If you didn't get it, verse 6, he just repeats it just in case you didn't get it. For to be carnally sarks-minded is death, but to be pneuma, spiritually minded, is, life and peace. Life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal, the sarks mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. All right, let's look back at the diagram. You've got two minds. I do. You've heard people say, I've changed my mind. James says, don't be double-minded. What does that mean? You've got a sarks mind and a pneuma mind. You've got a mind that goes right along with the flesh, what the world says, what others say, what your past has said, what wounds and hurts and traumas have said, what bitterness has said. You have mind, you have a sarks mind and a sarks emotions. You have a sarks will. You also have a pneuma mind. The Bible says the mind of Christ. We can put on the mind of Christ. We have a pneuma, a spirit mind. We've got pneuma emotions, love, joy, peace, patience. Well, brother, I'm so happy. We'll inform your face about it. I go to some churches in the worship team, you know. I mean, they stand up there and, this is the day, this is the day. It's like, dear God, I'd be rather singing, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. I'll have more fun with that one. I mean, it's like you're wading through peanut butter before you preach, man. Just go up there like, oh my God, help me, Jesus. Glory. That's what you got to say is glory. Quickly, go down to verse 11. We're going through various texts that we didn't get to last night. We went through a lot of line upon line texts last night. Verse 11. I'm hopping around for the sake of time. Verse 11. But if the Spirit, if the pneuma of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. How many of you have the Spirit of God in you? Wave at me. Well, if you're a Christian, you do. He that raised up Christ from the dead, you ought to mark verse 11, shall also quicken your mortal soma, your bodies, by the pneuma that dwelleth in you. Look, you can have wrong patterns in your very flesh. I mean, your flesh. I mean, we just obey our flesh. Our flesh says, eat. And it's like all of a sudden we turn into zombies. Eat. Porno flick. Porno flick. And you know, people are going around obeying their bodies. Your body is not your master. The new man is to be your master. You tell your body to shut up and obey the Spirit. The Spirit says, church. And the body says, I'm not going. And the Spirit says, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Where I go, you go. Get with the program. Yes, sir. Get your little body following right in line. Praise God. Here. Depression comes on you. You're depressed. Why are you depressed? Because you're not getting as far along as you thought you'd get, or that didn't work out, or the business proposal didn't happen, or whatever, whatever. I mean, we're just like little dummies. Depression. We go following around like little ducklings following a little, you know, the mother duck. God says, no, 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 no. Look at the verse we just read. The Spirit can quicken even your mortal body. Even though your body will die, but ultimately be raised up, because God will not let one part of you miss out on redemption. People say, I don't care what they do with my body, you know, after I'm dead and gone. God cares.
Amen.
So much so He sent Jesus, and He will raise your body from the dead. So that your spirit and soul can be reunited and you'll stand as a whole man, a whole woman before God. God says those who have faith in Christ Jesus, they will not lose one part of their being.
Amen.
I'll not let the devil. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He killed their body, I'll raise it up and glorify it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But watch. I saw this in my dad. My dad not only had, after he was saved, my dad not only had mental addictions, emotional addictions from the old life, even though he had the new man, all these patterns, these old patterns, were still resonant. Even his very flesh craved alcohol, craved nicotine, cigarettes. But I watched him walk it out to the point that the Spirit was able to even quicken, that is, make alive his mortal body. So it drove out those addictions and he was able to walk in victory for over 20 years before he died.
Amen.
And he's with Jesus right now.
Hallelujah.
Shouting the glory down. Just counting the days away. One more day, two more. Hallelujah. Here it comes. Get my body back. Amen. Glorified. Glorified. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Follow me now, verse 12. And I'm going to use some of the original terms because, again, people get mixed up, you know, because they just use terms interchangeable. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the sarks, to live after the sarks flesh. What is sarks again? It's yielding to the unrenewed mind, the unrenewed emotions, the unrenewed affections and desires of the body. If flesh meant your body only, and we got a problem because the Bible says God crucified the old man. Your job is to crucify flesh on a daily basis. God took care of your nature problem. You're going to have to take care of learning to yield your will and crucify that tendency of yielding to sin. If it meant your body, then, you know, go get you some nails and a big old hammer and go at it. Go ahead and crucify that body. Now, your body is not evil. It's the tendency of yielding to sin that God wants to drive out. Your body is a creation of God. Now, it can be an instrument unto sin or an instrument unto righteousness. Verse 13, for if you live after the sarks, you shall die. Verse 13, but if you through the pneuma, the Spirit, do mortify, that is, crucify, the deeds of the soma, you shall live, the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit, the pneuma of God, they are the sons of God. Go down to verse 16 quickly. You'll see the two spirits there. For the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Pneuma Himself beareth witness with our spirit, the human pneuma, that we are children of God. Children of God. Children of God. All right. 2 Corinthians 7. And then we're going to go in kind of a different direction. 2 Corinthians 7. I want to show you one problem text. Now, those of you that are just joining us tonight, You may not understand what I'm saying, but in the other sessions, we have been just through passage after passage like this, showing by diagrams, showing by the original terms, the difference between old man, new man, flesh, etc. There's one passage that at first glance, you would read it and you'd go, wait a minute, that goes contrary to what we've been studying. And as I've meditated and studied on this really for years, this one passage, you know, is the one that I find kind of stumps people. And I want to just point it out so that you can understand it. Chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians. Be sure in 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. So who's doing the cleansing, as it were? I mean, it's obviously God's power, but we've got to do something here. From all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, when you first read that, you go, uh-oh, because, you know, we've been saying, and we've seen in Romans 6, verse 6, that the old man was, past tense, crucified. And so now it's like, uh-oh, we got to, you know, fix our spirit and fix our flesh. I thought you said God fixed our spirit, and we're supposed to fix the flesh. What's the deal? Well, look at the verses above it. You say there's no verses above it. Well, you got to go back to chapter 6. He's talking about spiritism, witchcraft, and idolatry. That's what he's referring to. Go to verse 14. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, light with darkness? Verse 15, Christ with Satan, he that believeth with an infidel. Verse 16, and here's the key, and what agreement hath the temple of God, circle this, with idols? Verse 17. Follow me quickly. Verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, what? Idol worship. And be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Verse 1. Having therefore these promises, brethren, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. The text, the context of this passage, he's saying this, because the Corinthians lived in an environment of idol worship. He's not referring to the old man here. He's saying, even though you're Christians, you don't want to contaminate yourself by continuing to hang around idols, worship idols. And in those days, the idols were also involved with sexual acts. The idol worship was also involved with immorality. In fact, some of the priests and priestesses were sodomites and prostitutes in those days. That was all mixed together. And so he's referring to that. He's saying, you keep yourself away from the psychic hotlines. Hello. You keep yourself away from the Ouija boards. That's what we would say. You keep yourself away from the tarot cards. You keep yourself away from going into spiritism and trying to contact the spirit world that way, because not only will it contaminate you, it'll end up leading you into acts that you're flesh will want to go into. And so I wanted to point that particular passage out. That's the only one I've really found in all my studies of the New Testament that, again, at first glance, if you don't know the background there, you might not understand it. Now, to the handout, the very last page of the handout, we're talking spirit, soul, and body. We've spent all of our time basically on studying spirit, soul, flesh, mind, emotions. But I do want to touch on the body because, you know, your body is very important. That's your container. And Jesus is going to raise up your container. Why? His container was raised up. Amen? And I want to just go to number 23, the very last page, number 23. And I'll read this, but follow me as I read it and kind of skim over it. Because I want to put a due emphasis on the body. Number 23, resurrection of the body. The doctrine of bodily resurrection is central, please mark that word, to the Christian faith. As Paul said, and you can look these verses up later, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Do you understand that? I mean, if somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in resurrection of the dead, that doesn't even go together, because then Christ's not risen. This is what Paul says. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You're just on a self-help program, I guess. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. Now, here are some points of interest on the believer's physical body and promised resurrection. And I might just say this for those that attend this church. They probably have Derek Prince's tapes from the seminar. He was here a few years ago. He taught extensively on resurrection. I thought it was excellent. But let's look at some of these sub-points. A, according to Romans 6, 12, and 13, we just read that. And Romans 8:11, the believer's physical body can even now be yielded to God and quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit. His resurrection power can in part be experienced in our mortal bodies to help us overcome sin and accomplish His will. His quickening power and gifts of healing are first fruits of the Spirit and the powers of the age to come. Somebody says, I want the whole thing right now. Well, it's resident within you, but this corruption must put on incorruption to have the full glory. This mortal must put on immortality. And so even if God raises someone from the dead, thank God, that'd be a great miracle. I'm sure people would get healed over it. And that'd be wonderful. But Lazarus, even in the Bible, he died again. See, if God were to raise up someone from the dead now, it still would not be a glorified body. It would be a healed mortal body. We are going to put on a body that is not only resurrected, but is glorified. This body is driven primarily by blood. Our new bodies will be driven primarily by spirit. It'll be a glorified body that will never die and never perish. Whew, boy. Have rapture practice before this thing's over. All right, subpoint B. Upon death, the believer is with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Now, there are some religions that will teach that the soul is, you know, sleeping and not with the Lord. That's absolutely wrong. At the point of death, like when my daddy died in October, I mean, I prayed for his healing. Somebody says, oh, he was an old man. You shouldn't pray for his healing. I believe in healing. I'm going to pray for his healing. You know why he didn't get healed? I don't know. Why everybody didn't get healed? I don't know. I've seen people get healed. But that's the only way I know to pray. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody and say, you know, hope you die. And if I get sick, don't you come into my suite at the hospital praying like that. I'll sick this woman on you right here. She'll drive you out. But when someone dies, according to that verse, and you can look it up later, the believer is instantly in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Taken by the angels into the presence of the Lord. All right, subpoint C. Though the physical body decays and experiences corruption, God promises to raise it up in glory. Corruption will put on incorruption. All right, the next point, D. It will be a spiritual body like Christ's own resurrected body. And the last point, E. And I'm putting this as a maybe because I think it is subject to various interpretations. But there may be differing, quote, glories of resurrected bodies depending on one's obedience and service while on the earth. Now, you can look at those different verses for yourself, but Paul says there's one glory of the sun and the stars. There's different intensities or glories of the stars. The best way I know how to put it is this. I've always, after studying, seen this. You know, Billy Graham walk in the room and he's like a 1,000-watt light bulb. You know, some little old saint walk in there that hadn't done nothing for God, you know, and they've lived in the flesh half their life, you know. They're like a little Christmas light. Beep, that's about all they can do, just blink once in a while. They got a glorified body, but, you know, it just blinks once in a while. How embarrassing in the congregation of the righteous just to be standing there, just blink once in a while. Then there'll be some intercessor that'll come in there, and there'll be like a 5,000-watt candle power. But there are other places in the Word, not just that place, that Jesus plainly says, to one I'll say, have authority over 10 cities. To another I'll say, have authority over 1 city. To one I'll say, what did you bury your gifts in a napkin for? Depart from me. I'm telling you, those verses will make you live right. Those verses will make you live right. All right, now, I want to shift gears and begin to give you, as we close, I want to give you, and I'm going to go at these pretty quick, so write them down. This is what you're going to have to write down. This is not on your handout. I want to talk now about spiritual sensitivity, how to develop your spiritual sensitivity. How many of you would like to be more sensitive of spirit? That is, how many would you like to be able to discern to a greater fashion the voice of God, the guidance and direction of the Lord in your life? Those red lights where you know, hey, back off, you don't need to pursue that. Or those green lights, go for it, go on. Oh, there's caution lights, it's like warning, you better get your guard up. Or those yield signs, yes, but not now, hold up. I mean, there's different ways the Holy Spirit can lead us. Now, back to the diagram, the way that spiritual sensitivity develops is by your soul and your emotions and your will becoming more and more renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows. Everybody say the Holy Ghost knows.
Holy Ghost.
Everybody say the Holy Ghost knows.
Holy Ghost knows.
Now, you know, that sounds pretty fundamental, but it's profound. There's not one time that Jason Peebles has missed it that the Holy Ghost knew what was right to do. It's just that Jason Peebles wasn't in tune with the Holy Ghost. Hello? There's not one time in your life where you're not going to know what to do, but the Holy Ghost is up there too, scratching his head, going, man, I wish I knew what to do. We got to talk with headquarters on this deal. I just don't see Jesus walking around up in heaven going, Father, do you know what to do? I'm kind of at a loss as to what to do here. Get the Holy Ghost. Get Gabriel in here. Maybe he's seen something like this before. I don't believe God, the Father, God, the Son, or God, the Holy Spirit ever has a bad day. Do you? The trick, and I'm using that in a symbolic fashion, the trick is getting my soul more attuned to the new man, the Spirit. Then I can know. He knows, I can know. If I can know, I can get my body in gear and go do what God said do. All right, number one. And again, I'll give you some references, but really this is for you to kind of dig out on your own. The first key to developing your spiritual sensitivity, put number one, the first key for developing your spiritual sensitivity is become addicted to God's Word. Amen. You must become addicted to God's Word. Just write it in your own words there, or shorthand as fast as you can. Become addicted to God's Word. Make God's Word the guiding force in your life. Become addicted to God's Word. Make God's Word the guiding force in your life. Now, I believe in prophecy. I believe in the prophetic. I believe, you know, in the anointing. You hear so much about the anointing, the anointing, the anointing. Well, the thing is, the Bible does not say the anointing is the principal thing, therefore get the anointing. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, get wisdom. Now, they should work together. The anointing can come in and set somebody free, but if they don't start learning God's Word, they'll be in the same mess 2 months later. Maybe not that long, 2 days later. Some people, you can give them a miracle, and it's like, you know, they don't know how to fish for themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Word of God is the sword that the Holy Spirit uses to come in and to begin to cut away flesh and begin to cut away dross out of your soulish realm and begin to establish Jesus in your soul. In one place, Paul said to the Ephesians, he says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's talking to Christians. What do you mean, Jesus dwelling in my heart by faith? I thought Jesus dwelled in my heart. You know, we talk about the heart. Well, Jesus can very much be in your spirit, but not in your soul, in your mind, your will, and the emotions. And he said, I'm glad you're saved, but you need to get Jesus up into your heart. The heart is the deepest part of the soul, what the world calls subconscious, the subconscious. Get Jesus there. But the Word of God is the force that comes in, look at me, and begins to give the thoughts of God into your thoughts. I grow weary of people that want to run to some meeting and have prophet doodad lay hands on them and give them some word. Oh, more than what he can say. Brother Jason, do you have a word for me? I got a bunch of them here.
Amen.
Put this in your prophecy journal. Now, you know, if you didn't know me, you'd say I'm preaching against the prophetic. By no means. But there's a priority here. There's a priority here. And there are some people that are so enamored with their prophetic journals, they've forgotten the Word of God. That was good preaching. I got a bunch of, oh my God, did he say that? I should have gotten an amen. Now, don't make me have to amen myself. Say glory, amen. Praise God. All right. Number two. Notice what I put number one. It's God's Word. Why? When something comes along that is not of God, the Word of God will show it up. If something comes along that contradicts this book, you can just toss that deal out. I don't care how many thus saith the Lord it has attached to it. The Word of God. This is the revealed will of God. Everything else is judged by this, not vice versa. Everything is judged by this. All right, number two, the second way to develop your spiritual sensitivity is develop the habit of singing to the Lord throughout the day. You must develop the habit of singing to the Lord throughout the day in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Develop the habit. Everybody say the habit. See, now, you know, if you know anything about addictions, I've used the term in number one, become addicted to the Word. You know, reading the Bible once a week is not much of an addiction. I mean, somebody says, "Brother, I need prayer. You know, I smoke one time a week." It's like, you don't got much of addiction. Just throw them away. My dad smoked, you know, 5 and 6 packs a day. That's addiction. And number two, develop the habit of singing to the Lord throughout the day in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. "Oh, brother, I just love to praise Jesus on Sunday." You don't got to have it, honey.
Amen.
You just have some kind of little fling on Sunday. Jesus says on Monday when you're driving in your car, quit listening to some bozo on the radio. Turn that deal off and lift your voice in song unto the Lord. Begin to worship and praise Him. Recall a psalm of the Lord. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. You can have the brown ones, I'll take the green ones. Thank you very much, Lord. I thank you for my green pastures." You just go Hollywood with this deal. And you know what that does? Watch. Go back to the diagram. You know what it does? It tunes your soul to the Spirit. It tunes your soul to the Spirit. The Word of God tunes you to the Spirit. The worship tunes you to the Spirit. That's why I tell you, it's so much more enjoyable to minister after powerful worship like we had tonight, like we have at this church. I go to some places, you know, and I mean, you got to be hyper-anointed to do any good, you know, after some of that stuff. All right, number two, develop the habit of singing to the Lord throughout the day in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let me give you a verse for that. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. We'll not turn there for the sake of time, but Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. He says, "Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine and wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And that's a continuous thing. That's not a one-time. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to yourselves or to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart, your cardia. That's the term there. Not just the surface level of your mind. You can get into a realm of worship where it's so deep down into the cardia, the deepest part of the soul, that it becomes spontaneous and the Holy Spirit begins to take over. And you're just in a different realm. And it tunes you up to the Holy Ghost. Number three, the third key for developing your spiritual sensitivity. By the way, this is by no means exhaustive. I'm sure you can add to this list. But these are major ones that I've discovered for my life. Number three, practice yielding to the gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout the day. Now see, that's news to some people. Practice yielding to the gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout the day, especially the speaking gifts. Now I've got a whole series on yielding to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I just want to kind of touch on it here. Throughout the day, not only must you sing maybe a song like you learned at church, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You begin to, "Oh, thank God, He's going to provide for me." Not only do you sing a hymn, Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I thank you, Lord, I abide under your shadow." I just go over into that. But you get on over into tongues. Spiritual language. And you begin to use the speaking gifts. Then you prophesy. I'm talking by yourself. Yes. Well, Brother Jason, I thought the gifts of the Holy Ghost were to benefit people. Well, you're a people. I'm a people. I'm a people's people. And so I speak in tongues unto the Lord. Just with myself. I'll interpret at times. Get over to the song of the Lord. I'll prophesy. Why? Most of the time it's just general, you know, "I love you, I'm with you." I need to hear that about 20 times a day. But there'll be times where God will begin to direct you and show you some steps to take, give you a plan of action. Let me just leave this point with this. Oral Roberts. Now see, we're partial Oral Roberts because we're all of our Oral Roberts graduates. But man, it just gives the media the heebie-jeebies. They don't like this. The camera zooms in. President Roberts, we're talking $500 million. Well, it's more than that now, I'm sure, with the City of Faith that was built and the way inflation goes. But at the time I was there, $500 million campus. I think the guy's got something going for him. Now, you may not think it's God, but something. Okay? The media zooms in. President Roberts, could you tell us how it is that you came to build this great university? Well, I prayed in tongues and I interpreted. Oh, ow! It's like roll the film back. President Roberts, you don't understand. This is going to be on national news tonight. Would you, am I kind of coming at it from a different angle? Okay. Zoom in. President Roberts, how is it that you came to build this great university? Well, I use the prayer language of the Holy Spirit. And then I prayed with my understanding. And I began to get a plan from God. That's what he says. Now, I don't know what you say. I had one guy come to my tape table. You know, they're real smart. Their tie's usually tied up to about here. Buzz Jason. Buzz Jason. Big know-it-alls. I'll tell you right now, I don't like Oral Roberts. You know, and I'm on the other side of the tape table. It's like, you know, if I'm going to yield to the flesh, this is a good opportunity. It's kind of like, you know, when I start pulling on my collar, say, Jeff, you wait on this guy. In fact, my tapes aren't for sale for that deal. It's taught us well. He said, use the gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout the day. They're not just for church. They're not just for prayer group time. Throughout the day in your personal life. Number four, the fourth key for developing your spiritual sensitivity. We're getting close to the finish line here. Abound with thanksgiving throughout the day. I do want to look at this reference. Go with me to Colossians 2, verse 6. Abound with thanksgiving throughout the day. And please write down these three miracle words. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You need to make that a part of your vocabulary. Thank you, Jesus. I remember one time when Ryan was a little fella. He's 11 now. I hit my knuckle on something in the kitchen. And used to, I'd say something else, you know, but I said three miracle words. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I remember him looking up at me just amazed. And he said, Daddy, are you thanking Jesus you hit your knuckles? I said, no, I'm thanking Jesus is going to quit hurting. You know, I thank Jesus when things are working out. We need to get in the habit of saying thank you, Jesus, when things aren't working out. Why? We're not thanking Him for the problem. We're thanking Him for deliverance out of the problem. It's an expression of faith. Colossians 2, and I want you to mark verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How have you received Christ? Was it by works or by faith?
By faith.
All right, look back at verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ, you received Him by faith, so walk by faith in Him. Now mark verse 7. Here it is. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught. Circle it, circle it, circle it. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Not a little dabble, do you? Abounding with thanksgiving. I heard a man give his testimony. He said, I was a Christian. I could not break, though, my lifestyle of homosexuality. And that blows some people. Well, how could he be a Christian? No, he was a Christian. He loved God, but he had these bondages in his soul. He said, I could not break the power of homosexuality in my life until I learned to begin to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, I'm delivered. Thank you. But he wasn't delivered. He was saying it by faith. Over to you begin to say by faith what God declares you to be, it will happen in your life. And he was delivered. He was delivered. I've learned this. Whenever I have a problem with something, thank you, Jesus, I've got authority over that. Just like Pastor Chuck led us this at the beginning of the session in a confession. Thank you, Jesus. My bills are paid. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to get me a job. Thank you, Jesus. This proposal didn't work out, but I believe one will. Thank you, Jesus. You'll meet all my needs. Thank you, Jesus. I'll get into that college. The devil comes along, but you don't have any money to go to college. Well, instead of camping out with the devil, say, yeah, I don't, but Jesus does. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to give me the money to go to college. Are you hearing me? Look at verse 7. It roots you. It builds you up. It establishes you when you abound with thanksgiving. That's a habit, another habit to develop. What does it do? Look on the diagram. It causes your soul. What's the opposite of thanksgiving? Murmuring and complaining. Things start to go wrong and here comes the mind of the flesh. Here comes the sark's mind, the We talked about the natural man, the guy that's psuche. He's just thinking of it with his soul. He's not thinking with the mind of God. He's thinking with a psuche, what we call psyche, but the Greek is psuche, apart from God. Well, it never works out. Things aren't going to work out. I guess I just got an unlucky star up there somewhere. Quit saying junk like that and start agreeing with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, what number am I on? Somebody help me. We only got two more. Five, develop the habit of writing down key thoughts and ideas that come to you. Number five, the fifth way to develop your spiritual sensitivity. Develop the habit of writing down key thoughts and ideas that come to you. You want a reference for that? It's Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 4. We'll not turn there, but you may want to write it down. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, write the vision and make it plain. Write the vision and make it plain, that he who runs may read it. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. You know, what good does it do if God speaks to you and then you go, I wonder what God, I can't remember what God said last week. Did you enjoy Jason's conference? Oh, I tell you, it was powerful. It was so anointed. I mean, it was absolutely revolutionary. Handed out a glossary and everything. What did he teach on? Oh, you should have been there. The presence of God. What did he teach on? Can't remember. Knock you in the head. Write it down next time. How many times has God spoken to you in the night and you're just too lazy to get up and write it down? And it escapes you. I'll remember it. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're still in the mortal flesh. Write it down. Why? So that you can obey it. And that is a plus for prophetic journals. You know, I believe that when God speaks something significant to you, you ought to write it down. So you can go back and do a good warfare with it, like he told Timothy. You take that word and you war with it. Don't forget it. And the last one, number six, the sixth key for developing your spiritual sensitivity is develop a listening ear and instant obedience. Develop a listening ear. That's what we've been talking about. You're getting your soul tuned in to the Spirit. Your soul tuned into the Word. But when God speaks, it's not obey, maybe, might, perhaps next year. It's do it now. It's do it now. Now, this is the difference between losers and champions. A champion will hear God and obey Him instantly. He may not do it just right. He may make some mistakes. But as soon as God says jump, he's how high?
That's right.
Everybody else is around debating about it. Well, I don't know if I believe in jumping when God. You know, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, when God says jump, that guy's up.
Amen.
And why should God show us anymore when we don't obey Him? How many of you ever walked with a flashlight in the dark? I see a bunch of liars out there. How many of you ever walked with a flashlight in the dark? You know, if you want to go 100 yards, you don't start crying and squalling. Oh, this flashlight only goes 20 feet. Oh, I'm going to go back to Walmart flashlight. I'm taking that deal back. I need a 100-yard flashlight. If you heard somebody talking like that, your neighbor, you'd be going, wow. You know, the light's on, but nobody's home. You know what I'm talking about? No, watch. You walk in the light that's given, and a wonderful thing happens. Don't miss this. The beam moves forward. And you're just going around. You can get there if you'll walk in the light that's given. You'll never get there if you don't walk in the light that's given. God says, go to Bible school. Oh, Lord, I want to know what my lifelong dream is. You don't need to know. Go to Bible school. God says, start a business. Well, how big is it going to be, God? You don't need to know. Start the business.
Amen.
Put your foot in and the beam moves forward. And guess what? You're walking in an increasing realm of spiritual sensitivity. God will begin to manifest Himself more and more. And your soul, and here's where I want to end this entire conference. Look at me. Don't miss it. I know we've got some moving around. That's fine. Don't miss this. The whole purpose of God is for us to put on the new man. What is the new man? The recreated spirit. Your human spirit and the Holy Spirit have been joined forever. Praise God. And now let's put him on. Let's dress up our mind, our will, our emotions. Let's let it quicken our mortal body. So even this mortal body, though it's not the ultimate glorified body, even this mortal body can be yielded over to God as a vessel, an instrument of righteousness unto God instead of an instrument of sin.
Amen.
And we can be what God's called us to be. And be healed, renovated, restored, walk around as little Jesus is in the earth. Praise God.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.